Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The head minister, the steward of the feast, was about to be in real trouble. It wouldn't be long before the guests noticed that there was no more wine. And what's a wedding feast without abundant wine? It seems that the steward of the feast had simply prepared too little for the celebration. Or maybe there were just too many guests that came. Either way, it was too little, and it was too late for him to get any more. But Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding, and Jesus' mother was there too. When Mary quietly heard about the problem, she knew and believed that her son could do something about it. She went to him quietly and said, "They have no wine." Every man and boy knows what it means when his mom says, "Son, there's no trash bag," or "Your room is a mess." So too does Jesus perfectly understand his mother's statement. But his answer is not, "Yes, mother," or "I'll take care of it, mother," but, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" More accurately, our text says, "Woman, what is this between you and me? My hour has not yet come." Dear woman, this is not why I have come. I wasn't born to be the life of the party or to do party tricks, not even to make sure everyone is happy. What is this problem to you? Why does this problem involve me? This is the wine of gladness. The cup that I must drink will be a bitter cup. But how, mother, can you know or be ready for that day and that hour? How can anyone mourn while the bridegroom is with his bride? I'm going to pour out my blood for you, for all. But it's not time for that new wine yet. Though Jesus does not explain his thoughts or words to his mother, and though she can't understand what he will do or the sign that it will be for faith, Mary says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus then said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." And as the angels announced the good news of the birth of Jesus to the lowly shepherds who were doing their duty, watching their flocks by night, so too is Jesus revealed as God in Cana of Galilee to the lowly ministers, to the ones who are serving the guests at the wedding feast. They knew exactly what had happened at Jesus' word. The head steward was stunned. A new and good thing coming at an unexpected and even an inappropriate time. What host serves the best wine last? Before they saw it with their own eyes, the servants must have wondered what filling all these jars with water was going to do about the problem of not having any more wine. Maybe you wonder what being baptized, studying the Word of God, hearing the absolution, listening to sermons, and coming to this altar more frequently can possibly do about the problems that you and your family are facing in this life. Mary's word should be ringing in your ears. Do whatever he tells you. But will you? Do you? Will you hear his word? Repent of your sins and believe in him? Will you live in the covenant of your baptism and believe his word of forgiveness and life for you? Do you trust that he is always working for your good? Will you come to his supper often and receive what he says is important for your life and salvation? Will you bless and honor your marriage as Jesus blessed and honored this marriage? How about the children God gives? Will you protect and defend and speak for them? Will you bring them to Jesus and raise them in the Christian faith, even while they're still in the womb? Children, will you respect and honor your parents even to old age? Do you always give thanks for the parents that God has given you? Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let the little children come to me. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." He said these things because these things do for you for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. There is nothing more that you need in this life. There is nothing that your marriage and your family needs more in order to face every trouble and temptation and evil in this life. Where Jesus is, there is plenty with great blessing. Where Jesus is, there is forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Where Jesus is, the feast never ends. The head steward of the feast had no idea of the great problem that he was facing as the wine ran out. Before he ever found out, Jesus had already taken care of everything. Before you even know what you need, Jesus has answered and provided for you. Luther says that if we could see all the flaming darts that the devil shoots at us each day, we would fly for refuge and beg to receive the sacrament. This because we know that the word of God is powerful to protect and save us. It's the same powerful word that Jesus spoke, and a mature and wonderful creation sprang into existence. At his word, the best of aged wine is made for the wedding feast in Cana. He still speaks simple words to create saving faith in you, to remove doubt and fear and temptation and sin against him, against his baptismal work in you. He creates faith in you to strengthen you. He absolves your sins. He forgives your sins against your own body, against your spouse and your children and your parents and your neighbors too. He is not silent, and he will not be quiet. He does not leave you defenseless. He speaks and protects you and forgives you, even when you can't quite see how bad things are, when you can't quite see how he is making all things new and working all things for your good. He speaks and turns simple water into a saving flood to wash away your sins and make you holy, to clothe you in his own righteousness, to give you his new name, to wed you to himself in death, so that you can also be with him in resurrection life. Jesus speaks and turns a simple meal of bread and wine into a feast of his own body and blood for forgiveness and nourishment and strength in this life, and as a foretaste of the eternal feast that is to come. When Jesus' hour came on the divinely ordained third day, when it was finally his time, he went to the cross and poured out his precious blood, and he made his bride holy. On that day, he gave his church new wine that is far superior to the old. Jesus gave the best wine at the feast after the first wine was exhausted and could do no more. So too does the gospel come after the law has done its work. The prophet comes after all the other prophets have been poured out. Joy comes after sadness, light after the darkness, and resurrection and life come after death for those who believe. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He saves the best for last. He gives the best to you. The miracle, the sign at Cana, teaches us that Jesus ordains marriage and families and blesses them. It teaches us that he did not come for his own glory and honor, but to serve in humility and holiness and righteousness. He manifested his glory on that day, and the text says his disciples believed in him. He shows us that his gifts are neither too little nor too late. He gives in great abundance at just the right hour, and all for our benefit. The bridegroom came to his feast, and he gave his life for his bride, for this is what a husband does for his wife and children. And by Jesus' sacrifice for his bride, the church, you are saved. In Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, by his word of absolution delivered and spoken through his servants, your sins are forgiven. Everything is ready again. Let the celebration continue. Come to the feast. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.